In our scripture reading for this afternoon, we will see Samson crying to the Lord from the depths, and the Lord hearing his plea. And we see in our scripture reading that grace and mercy of the Lord and his arm almighty redeeming his saints. Please turn in your Bibles to Judges chapter 16. Last week we looked at Samson's downfall. Now this afternoon we want to consider Samson's final victory, the triumph of grace. Judges 16, begin reading at the 18th verse. Our text being the verses 22 to 31. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. And she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. Here begins our text of verse 22. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their god, and to rejoice, and they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." When the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead." So it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, "Call for Samson, that he may perform for us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them." Now the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. In fact, there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof who watched while Samson performed. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him, and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. He had judged Israel 20 years. So far, the reading of God's Word. Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, what a fool I have been. Have you ever heard someone say that? What a fool I have been. Maybe you've said it yourself. You look back on your life and recall those sinful choices that you have made and the consequences of those choices, and you say to yourself, "Why did I ever go down that road? Why did I ever listen to the lies of the evil one? Why did I yield to my sinful desires, which have not only damaged my life, but have also brought dishonor to the name of my Savior? What a fool. What a fool." I once read the story of a man who left his wife, left his children, left his church, left his Christian friends, and moved in with a woman who was not his wife and not a Christian. He partied with her, went to the nightclubs with her, drank with her, and slept with her. But one day, by the grace of God, he realized just how wicked he really was and just how wicked she really was. A greedy, self-centered, self-loving woman who cared for no one but herself. The man woke up one morning and said to himself, "What have I done? How could I have been so ignorant, so thoughtless, so blind, so careless? I have not only hurt my wife, my children, my parents, my relatives, my church, my friends, and my wife's family, but I have also dishonored my Lord. Oh, if I could only turn the clock back. If I could only erase this part of my life. If only I could go back to where I was before. How can I ever be forgiven? How can I ever be restored to favor with God? I am a miserable, miserable failure." Congregation, what do you suppose Samson was thinking as he was doing the work of a slave in a Philistine prison? In utter darkness, his eyes gouged out, his hair shaved off, bound with bronze fetters, Samson was forced to grind grain for the Philistines. We can only guess how many times he reviewed the events of the past days in his mind. He had broken God's law with a prostitute. He had played with temptation. He had been unfaithful to his Nazarite consecration under which he had been born. And he had squandered his incredible God-given potential. Samson must have said over and over and over again, "What a fool I have been. God had given me his spirit, but I chose to live according to the flesh. I did whatever was right in my own eyes, and now they are gouged out. I did not use my freedom for God's glory, and now I am a slave. If only I could turn the clock back. If only I could erase this part of my life. I am a miserable failure." Brothers and sisters, how far the mighty Samson had fallen. The invincible enemy of the Philistines was now their slave. The one who could not be captured or bound was now chained in prison. What a pathetic sight. We see Samson there in prison and we say, "What a pathetic looking man." The shaved, blind, chained Samson was a warning for Israel and is a warning for the church today. Sin always produces misery. It promises pleasure, but it produces pain. But thankfully, congregation, thankfully, the story of Samson is not only a story of failure and lost privileges. It is also a story of God's mercy and restoring grace. His life is not only a warning to Israel and a warning to the church of all ages, it is also a beautiful encouragement for those who have lived careless, sinful, disobedient lives. Our God is merciful and gracious, and he is able to use broken, fallen sinners for his glory. Our text for this afternoon records Samson's final victory. And in these verses, we see the triumph of grace. The triumph of grace. I've divided our text into four parts. A hopeful sign in verse 22. A humiliated servant in verses 23 through 25. A humble supplication in verses 26 through 28. And a historic slaughter in verses 29 to 31. A hopeful sign, a humiliated servant, a humble supplication, and a historic slaughter. Look with me, please, to verse 22, a hopeful sign, point number one. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. We don't know how much time elapsed between verses 21 and 22, but it was enough time for Samson's hair to begin growing back. By giving us this information, brothers and sisters, the writer of Judges was letting a ray of light penetrate through the dark clouds. Samson's hair was a sign that all is not lost. Of course, there was nothing magical about Samson's hair. His strength came from the Spirit of the Lord, not from his hair. But Samson's hair had been a sign of his consecration, and as such, it had also been a sign of his strength. As the writer of Judges tells us about Samson's growing hair, he is also telling us that God had not entirely abandoned him. Verse 22 is a beautiful verse, for in it we see that even in the midst of the most horrible circumstances, the horrible circumstances that were the result of sin, God was present and working to restore his fallen servant. God was not giving up on him. In congregation, as the writer of Judges penned these words, he was also reminding the entire nation of Israel that even though they had miserably failed as God's covenant people and brought themselves under the power of pagan oppressors, God continued to be merciful and gracious toward them. The growing hair of Samson is a reminder that God was able and willing to use his fallen servant Samson for his glory. And as God was able to use his fallen servant Samson for his glory, so God was able and willing to use his fallen nation of Israel for his glory. Like Samson, Israel had neglected her high calling. And they had yielded to the desires of the flesh. And like Samson, Israel lost her strength and became a people in bondage. But verse 22 declares that by the grace of God, the hair can grow again. By the grace of God, the hair can grow again. And God can use Israel again. Even though Israel had been a miserable failure, the Lord is able to raise her up. That should be an encouragement also for you this afternoon, brothers and sisters. Have you been unfaithful? Have you been a failure? Have you departed from the Word of God and yielded to the temptations of the evil one? Remember, by the grace of God, the hair can grow again. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is hope for those who have utterly failed. Although the clock will not be turned back in your life, you can go forward in the service of God as the fellowship between you and God is restored by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The comment in verse 22 regarding Samson's hair is not so much a statement of what was happening on Samson's head as it was a statement of what God was doing in his heart. Samson's growing hair was a visible sign that his fellowship with God was being restored and growing. Yes, Samson had been a fool, but Scripture tells us that there is hope for fools. Samson had been ungodly and unfaithful, but God promised to send his son to receive the ungodly and the unfaithful. Samson was not beyond the possibility of God's forgiveness. And dear friends, neither are you. As God restored Peter after he had denied his master three times in the hour of his greatest need, and as God restored King Manasseh after he had led Israel into terrible idolatry, and as God restored David after committing the sins of adultery and murder, so the Lord also reached out to Samson. He reached out to Samson with his hand of grace and began to draw him back into fellowship with himself. Samson will still play a role in God's plan. God is in the business of restoring fallen sinners. Isn't that a great message? And so our text begins with a hopeful sign, point number one. But as we go on in verses 23 through 25, we see a humiliated servant. A humiliated servant. The lords of the Philistines who had captured Samson organized a service of worship and thanksgiving in honor of their god Dagon. They offered a great sacrifice to him, verse 23, and they rejoiced in Dagon's goodness to them. They said, "Our God has delivered us, delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." They declared that the success of their mission was due to the power of Dagon, and therefore Dagon deserved their praise. For the lords of the Philistines, the capture of Samson proved the superiority of their god. Because they had defeated Samson, they believed that their god was more powerful than Samson's god. In verse 24, the Philistines said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead." Little did they realize that the arrest of Samson had nothing to do with Dagon's power. It was God's hand of discipline upon his wayward servant. Dagon was just a worthless idol, the work of men's hands, a helpless, lifeless image. Nevertheless, the leaders and the people raised their voices in worship. The one who had destroyed their land, the one who had slain numerous Philistines, was now completely powerless and harmless. "Let us praise Dagon, for he has done great things." And then congregation, at the height of the feast, after the wine had flowed freely, they began to say, "We want Samson. Call for Samson. Bring him here so that he may perform for us." So Samson was led into the temple of Dagon, blind, chained, and helpless. Verse 25 says that he performed for them. We don't know what the performance consisted of, but for the Philistines, it was a hoot. This was great. They were having a great time. Thousands of Philistines laughed when they saw the hated Samson led around like an animal on a chain, stumbling around in his blindness. Wasn't this fun? It was sweet revenge. They played with their prisoner while the excited mob shouted their approval. The Philistines hadn't enjoyed such fun for many years. What great entertainment watching this loser stumble around, performing at their command. Yes, Dagon was good. Dagon was the victor. Brothers and sisters, as we see Samson on the stage, mocked, laughed at, and humiliated, we need to remember who he is. Samson is Yahweh's servant. Samson represents the power of Yahweh. And therefore, Samson's humiliation is Yahweh's humiliation. The worship of the Philistines seemed to indicate that Dagon was triumphant. Dagon's servants had triumphed over Yahweh's servants. Yahweh has been defeated by the gods of the Philistines. Yahweh could not preserve his servant nor keep him from the hands of the Philistines. How it must have grieved Samson as he realized that this was not merely a personal insult to him, but this was a mockery of the Lord God of Israel. It was the Lord who was regarded as a weakling. Samson had brought great dishonor to the Lord whose name he bore. You know, congregation, one of the sad realities of the Christian life is that when we sin, we sometimes give the world reason to mock the Lord of heaven and earth. By their sin, the nation of Israel caused the surrounding nations to think little of their God. Because they appeared to be a defeated people, the nations concluded that Israel's God was weak and incompetent. And so Israel brought dishonor upon the name of the Lord. That was true for Israel as a nation. It was true for Samson as an individual who was often a mirror reflection of the nation. But it's also true today. Just a week or two ago, the news was carrying a story about a prominent American preacher. I'm sure you heard the story. A prominent American preacher was allegedly caught in a sad moral scandal. Very soon after that, the story was reported, I heard a talk show host mocking the Christian faith as a response to the conduct of this prominent preacher. You see, when we sin, we sometimes give the world reason to mock the Lord of heaven and earth. We bring dishonor to His name. Look at Samson. Our God is mightier than his God. Look at the blind man. Blessed be the name of Dagon. Our God has defeated the destroyer of our land and the one who has multiplied our dead. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us praise Dagon, our deliverer. Let us remember, brothers and sisters, that when we depart from the word of the Lord, we bring dishonor to his name. He is not glorified as he ought to be, and his name is not revered. In our text, it should have been the Israelites who were singing songs of praise to the Lord in the company of a victorious Samson. It should have been a gathering of Israelites praising the Lord for another Israelite victory under the leadership of mighty Samson. But sadly, that was not the case. Disobedient Samson was a humiliated servant, and God was robbed of his glory. There was no thanksgiving service in honor of the Lord. But then we come to point number three. A humble supplication. A humble supplication. As Samson heard the jeers of the mob, he knew that he had failed in his calling as judge and deliverer of Israel. It seemed as though God's people were soundly defeated, for the one man who had been able to resist the enemies of God, the enemies of God's people, was now a miserable slave. Samson had failed, and the Philistines were gloating over his failure. But in verse 26, Samson asked the lad who led him by the hand to guide him to the pillars supporting the structure so that he could lean on them. And then, surrounded by 3,000 screaming, laughing, drunken Philistines, Samson began to pray. This is the second recorded prayer of Samson. The first prayer we saw back in chapter 15. After he had killed 1,000 Philistines, he became so thirsty that he thought he was going to die. And in his great need, he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord provided. Now here in our text, we have the second recorded prayer of Samson. Look with me to verse 28. Verse 28. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. Now, some commentators strongly criticize Samson for this prayer, maintaining that it is totally self-centered. Samson sought nothing more than personal vengeance, it is said. It is all about me, me, me. Remember me, strengthen me, that I may take vengeance for my two eyes. Some commentators state that Samson took no thought for the nation he is supposed to be delivering. Neither was he concerned about the name of Yahweh, whose reputation he had been denigrated by this turn of events. Samson does not seem to care what is happening to Yahweh's reputation, it is said. I'm inclined to disagree with that evaluation of Samson's prayer. I believe it is more accurate to say that this is a prayer of faith from a man who had been through God's refining fire. First of all, Samson's prayer acknowledges that he is totally dependent on God. Totally dependent on God. The only way he can push down the temple is if God grants him the strength. Strengthen me, I pray. Samson knew that he had to rely on the Lord, not on himself. Second, while this prayer can appear to be a self-centered prayer, it can also be interpreted from the perspective of Samson in his official role as deliverer of Israel. Instead of a cry of personal vengeance, Samson's prayer can be understood as the cry of one who realized that he was a servant of Jehovah who had been raised up for the very purpose of executing God's just judgment upon the Philistines, thereby rescuing Israel from her oppressors. Some would see this prayer as the wicked outburst of an individual who is thirsting for personal vengeance. But in light of what Hebrews 11 says about Samson, I believe it is more accurate to say that this is a holy and humble prayer of God's office bearer. He is praying as a judge of Israel and representative of Israel's God. He is praying as God's office bearer who knows that Dagon has been exalted and Jehovah, the true and living God, has been dishonored and mocked. Samson is praying as the appointed representative of the Lord. His blinding was not merely a cruel and humiliating act upon him personally, but it was an act of cruelty against God's representative. Regardless of Samson's own guilt in the matter, and Samson was guilty, but regardless of Samson's own guilt in the matter, the Philistines' cruelty against him was an attack against the God of Israel. Samson was a Nazarite, set apart by the Lord. When the Philistines made sport of him, they were at the same time mocking the covenant God of Israel, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Samson prays as the official deliverer of God's people and the official defender of God's name. He prays in his capacity as Nazarite judge, longing for God to display his glory and majesty to those who mock. If we interpret Samson's prayer merely as the prayer of an individual, then we could rightly conclude that it is a self-centered cry of personal vengeance. But if we interpret Samson's prayer as the prayer of God's office bearer, then we realize that it is a holy prayer of God's servant who sought divine vengeance upon the enemies of the covenant. Samson prayed that he would be used of God this one last time, so that the temple of Dagon would become a massive cemetery and the name and honor of Israel's God would be vindicated. I suspect that there was never a time in Samson's life, brothers and sisters. I suspect that there was never a time in Samson's life when he had a better understanding of God's call than he did when he prayed this prayer. Lord, strengthen me, I pray, just this once, that I may take vengeance on the Philistines. In a pagan temple, surrounded by pagan worshipers who thought that their God was superior to Yahweh, Samson prayed that God would reveal his glory and silence the laughter of ungodly men, shutting the mouths of ungodly men. Far from being a sinful prayer, I believe it is a prayer of concern for the honor of God. Samson wanted to be abundantly clear that Dagon is not Lord, but that Dagon was a false god. Dagon is a false, non-existent god. Samson wanted Israel and the world to know that all idol worshippers will perish, but those who trust in the Lord will experience victory. God's victory. I believe that Samson's prayer reflects the same concern as was expressed by the prophet Elijah on Mount Carmel. Remember that story, children? Remember the prophet Elijah on Mount Carmel? Elijah stood against the prophets of Baal. A contest was arranged in which the prophets of Baal were to build an altar. They were to lay a bull upon it, but they were to put no fire under it. Elijah would prepare another bull and put it on his altar with no fire under it. Then the prophets of Baal would call on the name of their gods, and Elijah would call on the name of Jehovah. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. And so the prophets of Baal called on their God all day, but there was no fire. Then it was Elijah's turn. After thoroughly drenching the altar with water, Elijah prayed and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God. That, I believe, is the concern of Samson as he prayed to the Lord in verse 28. Let it be known this day that you are God in Israel. Brothers and sisters, the Lord heard Samson's prayer. In spite of all the sins that he had committed, the Lord heard Samson and answered him from heaven. Samson's humble supplication was followed by a historic slaughter. A historic slaughter. Verse 27 says that the temple was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof. This was a massive assembly of Dagon worshippers. A massive assembly who had gathered to celebrate the fall of Samson. They were laughing, they were shouting, they were drinking, and they were mocking their enemy. But the laughter soon turned into screams of terror as Samson brought the house down with a mighty crash. Look at verse 29. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might. And the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. What a scene it must have been as that huge stadium collapsed. Dagon, who was being worshipped by the Philistines, could not prevent his temple from becoming the scene of terror and death and confusion. Can you imagine the panic? Think about this scene right here for a moment. Can you imagine the panic as people tried to flee the building? The cries, the screams. The crushing weight of wood and stone. Can you imagine the terror of those who had just moments before been entertained by their defeated enemy? With a great roar, the entire structure collapsed, killing and burying thousands. Nothing like this had ever happened to the Philistines before. It was a tragedy that not only took the lives of men and women, but also the lives of the Philistine lords. You see that? The top leaders of the nation perished as the walls came crashing down. With one mighty push, Samson buried the crowd under a heap of rubble. A congregation. Samson is sometimes accused of committing suicide. Perhaps you've heard that. Convinced that there was no reason to live, he intentionally took his own life as he brought the house down. Some people describe Samson's death as suicide. Suicide is certainly forbidden in the Word of God. It is a violation of the sixth commandment. The church has always condemned suicide as self-murder. We may not kill our neighbor because he is made in the image of God. And for the same reason, we may not kill ourselves. We may not destroy the image of God that we ourselves are. Life is a creation of God. The Lord is the giver and he is the taker of life. And he alone has the right to determine the beginning and the end of life. Besides Samson, there are examples in Scripture of five people, as far as I know. Five people who took their own lives. Who are they? Saul and his armor bearer. That's two. Ahithophel, David's former counselor who had sided with Absalom in his rebellion. Zimri, king of Israel, who burned his house down upon himself. And Judas Iscariot, who hanged himself after betraying Jesus. In each of those situations, perhaps with the exception of Saul's armor bearer, whom we know very little about, there had been rebellion in their lives prior to them taking their own lives. The suicides of Saul, Ahithophel, Zimri, and Judas were a reflection of their ungodly character. And as such, their suicides are condemned. In the case of Samson, however, the situation is not the same. Once again, we need to remember that in Hebrews 11, he is mentioned as one of the heroes of faith. As we evaluate Samson's conduct, we should bear in mind that there is a difference between self-sacrifice and suicide. There is a difference between self-sacrifice and suicide. There were many soldiers in World War II who sacrificed themselves for the sake of others. There were men who threw themselves on top of a hand grenade to save the other men in their unit. We respect and we honor such men for their courage. When the Titanic was sinking, a man named John Harper gave away his life jacket to someone who was not a Christian. He died for the sake of another, and we commend him for his self-sacrifice. There's a big difference between self-sacrifice and suicide. When Samson heard those 3,000 Philistines celebrating their victory by the power of Dagon, he believed that this was his last opportunity to serve as the deliverer of God's people. Having called out to the Lord and having received strength from God, Samson gave up his life in this last attempt to do battle for the kingdom of God and to win one last victory over the enemy of Israel. Let me die with the Philistines. Let me die with the Philistines is not a cry of rebellion or a cry of despair or a cry of hopelessness. It is the cry of Samson as he recognized that he had brought shame on the name of the Lord, and this was his last opportunity to act as the deliverer of Israel. For the sake of the glory of God, Samson was willing to die so that Dagon would be destroyed and the Lord of Israel would be proven superior. Samson was ready and willing to die for the glory of Yahweh and the deliverance of his people. This was his last opportunity to show the Philistines that Jehovah, not Dagon, Jehovah is the omnipotent Lord, the all-powerful God. And congregation, what does this episode mean for the nation of Israel? Why did the writer of Judges record Samson's final victory? I'm sure there are several reasons, but allow me to briefly mention just a few things in closing. First, I have pointed out in previous sermons on Samson that by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the writer of Judges was holding a mirror before the nation of Israel. God was saying to Israel, this is what you are like. You have committed spiritual fornication as Samson was a fornicator. You have lusted after the world of the ungodly as Samson lusted after Philistine women. You have been unfaithful as Samson had been unfaithful. And you have lost your freedom. You are a people in bondage as Samson lost his freedom as a humiliated slave in prison. In all these things, Samson was a mirror for Israel. In Samson's careless compromise, Israel was to see herself. But what should Israel learn from this episode, brothers and sisters? What should Israel learn from this episode? That there is hope for the nation if they call out to the Lord. There is hope for the nation if they earnestly pray to Him. There is victory for God's covenant people as they turn to Jehovah. God will still use the nation of Israel as they cry out to the Lord. Although Yahweh disciplines His people for their sin, as Samson had been disciplined, there is grace, abundant grace, for those who cry out to Him. The broken town temple of Dagon is a sign to Israel that this is what you can do as a nation if you recommit your life to me. I will give you the power to conquer your enemies as you pray to me. My ears are open to your cries and my arm is ready to act on your behalf. For you are my covenant people, and if you call upon me in the day of trouble, I will hear. Congregation, there was great hope in these verses for Israel, but also for you as God's covenant people today. If you have fallen into sin, and brought dishonor to God's name, he has every right to destroy you. He has every right to condemn you. But if you call out to him in the day of trial, out of concern for his glory, there is grace for you. There is mercy. Unmerited, undeserved, abundance. Grace. The flattened temple of Dagon and its crushed inhabitants are pictures of God's wrath upon the ungodly. The condemnation of those who do not fear him. 3,000 Philistines who had not honored the one true God were destroyed. But from that pile of rubble, Samson's body was removed and buried in the promised land. Yes, Samson suffered for his folly. Yes, he suffered because of his carnal pursuit of pleasure. But he is remembered in the New Testament as a man of faith. Forgiven, redeemed, and restored by the grace of God. Samson's life and death is a powerful illustration of the truth that God is a God of grace. His life and death illustrates the triumph of grace. Brothers and sisters, do you know that you have miserably failed your Lord? Are you troubled by the thought that you have been a fool, not once, not twice, not three times, but 1,000 times over again? This passage can be a great encouragement to you. There is grace in our Savior Jesus Christ. He has come to pay the penalty for your sin at Calvary. Through his final and perfect sacrifice, you are completely pardoned, forgiven, redeemed, and restored by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the fallen temple of Dagon, we see both blessing and curse. Curse for the fallen Philistines, blessing for the people of God who call out to him. Then, congregation, if you are burdened by your sin, if you are burdened by your foolishness, call out to your God and Savior, and you will know his blessing. You will know the triumph of his grace. Grace that pardons and cleanses and covers all your sin. Let us pray. Oh Lord, what a blessing it is to ponder your grace. We see it in the life of Samson, a man who in many ways is a mystery to us, a great puzzle, even as Israel was a great puzzle. And yet, Lord, a man who in many ways is a reflection of what we are. We too are often a great mystery and a puzzle. And how we thank you, Lord, that Samson is remembered in the New Testament not for his foolishness, but for his faith. So that we too, Lord, may be encouraged that through faith in the Savior, we will be received. We will be honored. Oh Lord, we will not be condemned because of our folly and our iniquity, but we will be commended because of our Lord Jesus Christ and our trust in him. Oh Lord, we pray that you will help us then, knowing your wonderful grace, help us to live a life in your service that brings glory to you, Lord. We have been reminded in the life of Samson that through his disobedience, your name was profaned. That he brought dishonor to you by his folly. And we know, we confess, our God, we do the same. But by our sin, we bring dishonor to the name of our God and Savior. Lord, help us to live in the light of your word, that we would not bring dishonor to you. And when we do, when we stumble, when we fail, when we fall, give us the grace to cry out to you, to receive from you all that we need to complete the task that you have given us. Lord, if there are those who are discouraged here this evening because of bad choices in the past, sinful choices, a life of disobedience, help them to see, O Lord, the encouragement that these verses offer us, the grace that we see in the life of Samson is grace extended to us today. Bless your people, Lord, as they consider the wonder of being forgiven, redeemed, cleansed, and covered with the righteousness of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.